exceedingly clear and succinct about this. He says, no one can serve two masters. You either serve God or you serve greed. Amen. Any questions? Since you want a little bit more, Jesus almost pounds this topic in the Gospels. Stories, tales, parables. Remember the rich farmer who kept getting more grain and he wanted more barns to hold it all in? And then that night he got the word, "Fool, you die tonight. How much is all that worth?" Or the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar at the gate. And nearly every day the rich man gave him crumbs. I mean, almost every day he got crumbs. Wow. And then they both died and the roles get reversed and the Lazarus is in the heavenly eternal banquet and the rich man in the bowels of hell begging for drops of water. Send Lazarus to give me a drink. And God says, there's this chasm between us, my friend. I don't know how it shall be crossed. Does that remind you of perhaps inequality in our day, when 7 people on this planet have more wealth than half of the Earth's population? Zacchaeus, the tax collector, they were scoundrels. We put them down because they're all thieves. That's how you make a living, right? And when somebody wanted to repent, the law was to restore twice over. But Zacchaeus, in the presence of Jesus, gets it. And he says, I'm going to pay back everyone I stole from 4 times over. Perhaps you've heard of this prosperity gospel that's going around the country these days. It plays well in Dallas and Hollywood and Boca Raton. And here's the core message. God wants you rich. That's it. The offense is unbelievable. Claiming Jesus ever said that is beyond fathoming. And talk about a chasm, right? Wow. So stewards are connectors. We connect gospel values with daily realities. And so we come to see goods, not only as raw materials, gathered together. Goods are gifts. They are temporary. They are meant to generate life, especially in the service of others. The early Christian community designed itself around sharing so that all could be provided for and none fell through the cracks. We're living in a time of great and dire crisis. And this gap is unbelievably immense. Stewarding Sunday is not really about meeting the church budget. It's a day to explore. Are we using our resources wisely and in a caring fashion for the good of our families, yes, and others? And yet, I need to say this day that in light of COVID during this last year and a half, the church council and I are deeply grateful We have been overwhelmed by the consistency and the constancy of the giving which all of you have provided during this time of crisis. Yes, PPP loans were received twice. We needed them. But there have also been astounding gifts given from some of you and friends around the country. So it's kind of a miracle that we're here today. And on behalf of the council, I am saying thank you. Thank you for caring and committing to this congregation. And we're living in a time now where sustaining life on this earth and sustaining the very earth itself has become a question mark. This is absurd. The enormity of the greed, the relentless greed to exploit people and earth can't be fathomed. We're ready to destroy our own home. It's happening. And the next generation is terrified. Have you been seeing these reports? They're afraid they won't have a future, afraid they won't have a planet. And they're terrified of many of us because the older generation appears to be indifferent. The Bible calls this chaos. A storm threatening disorder which cannot be measured or managed. And the Bible is far more concerned about chaos than sin and guilt. I hope that's a little relief to some of you, but if you really understood, this is not a homework assignment, the scriptures are all about this chaos and these times which keep coming and washing over humanity. See, we turn sin and guilt into a little religious game. We like that one. We can manage that one. Boy, we sure know where Christus stands, don't we? But this is the overwhelming absurdity of life. People who would destroy themselves and their own communities. Now, to be clear, science uses the word chaos in a whole other context, all right? Science is talking about the chaos of universe and its formation and the cosmic evolution and the subatomic realm, all the randomness of things which are going on constantly. It's perfectly fine. It's helpful. It's marvelous. But when the scriptures and preachers use the word chaos, we are talking about a disorder of a magnitude beyond anything we can control. It is the intimidation and the threat of fear and anxiety paralyzing people as if there's no center and everything is disintegrating. Where do we find a foothold? Which is why Jesus said in his time, as in the days of Noah, you remember deep in the past, so this present generation wants to live in frivolity and superficiality, pretending that no storm or flood is coming. You can't serve God and greed. So stewards and connectors cannot save the world. But we can focus our energy on the light, on the healing, on the hope, wherever it is emerging, no matter how small or great. That's why prayer is so important, to keep our hearts focused on what matters. As Martin Luther said 500 years ago, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. A couple years ago, I was in seminary. And in those days, my teaching parish assignment was at the Holy Comforter, Church of the Holy Comforter, in the ghettos of St. Louis, a project nearby, heavy duty, you imagine, every kind of crime possible. Members of the church were black and white, totally impoverished, had had sons and daughters murdered, had sons and daughters in prison. Slightly different than our congregation. Sometimes. And I would drive Ella to church. Now, she was a poor white woman, what we call white trash, huh? And missing resources and tough times. Frankly, Ella had a stench about her. I'd drive her to church, as I said, and even in the middle of winter, I'd roll down the window and breathe out the window. It was so bad. Sunday after Sunday, it was bad. Well, it was this season of the church year, approaching Thanksgiving, and Ella stands up during announcements one morning and called on, yes, what you'd like to share? And she says, you know, I can't imagine, because we're supposed to, so why wouldn't I? It seems like we'd have to. Thank you. Sits down. And what? So Jean, the pastor, who's a mentor of mine, ask her a couple questions. Now, what is this about? And she says, well, that Thanksgiving thing, and you read? So yeah, I read it. And Jean says, oh, you mean in the newspaper? Yeah. Oh, okay, Jean says. What Ella's talking about is that there's an invitation for a national fast this Thanksgiving, and everybody's invited to fast and then give the money that you would spend on the Thanksgiving meal to various church resources who will distribute those funds to the poor so they can eat this year. And Ella says, yeah, right. And Harold, the president of the congregation, who was in his 70s, I mean, he was old. Harold stands up. Well, then I move the congregation fast. And he sits down. And the congregation goes, that's right, amen. And they all fasted. I am screaming inside of myself. You don't get it, friends. This is backwards. We're fasting for you. But there are other dimensions that they are aware of. Blessed are the poor. The reign of God is theirs. And they knew that you cannot serve God and greed at the same time. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.